Okay, come. Rabbi Isai, everybody is very, very committed and busy and is already involved in their year. We don't have time to waste. So, who wants to open up the proceedings with their own auras? This is not a shir. This is a, except for you.
Can I go second?
What's that?
Can I go second?
Okay, you can open up, fine. Nobody else wants to talk so much. I just want to say something before you begin, though, okay? So we don't have to get into a lot of discussions. The purpose of this is to learn the Rambam. The purpose is not to learn the Rambam's Bekeres from the Gemara or the Gemara's Bekeres from the Drushas and the Psukim. We're doing this the way we did Hilchas Teshuvah. First, we're being koveya, what does Teresh Abalpe have to say about it? We're not going into necessarily where it comes from, just like the Rambam says, that we know this without, you can learn this without having anything in between. We're still doing the not having anything in between. You're asking questions that have to do with the in between. That comes later. Those are in Yonim of Gemara. A lot of these questions have to do with the Yonim of Gemara, right? So, as far as I could see over here, some of them are negiah. The things about the psukim and so on and so forth is not for now. So you want to focus on like which of the questions you felt it was central, or Ezra is here. Ezra could open up. Ezra also put in a few psukim, a few.
I put one question, it's pretty much the same question.
That's 11, 12, 13 is all you. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So you want to ask, come. So say aloud, and everybody should hear.
So, in Perek Gimel,
can everyone hear Ezra? Speak aloud.
In Perek Gimel, in Halacha Gimel, I think it's Halacha Gimel and Dalek in the Mishneh Torah and Rambam, but they separated.
Okay, fine, yeah.
But it's in the Talmud Torah, b'chol mitzvot kulan sheyishe kulah keneged Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah keneged b'chol mitzvot kulah. That Talmud b'vein d'maaseh. The reason why Talmud Torah is so great is because it brings to maaseh.
Okay.
Lefichach haTalmud kodem lemaaseh b'chol makom.
Okay.
So if you're saying that the goal is maaseh and it's so great that because it, so why would Torah always come before?
Right.
That's one question. Second question is then he goes.
That's everybody's question.
Right.
That's the universal question on that. All. That's everybody's question on the Gemara. It's not when the Gemara says that. So, yeah.
So then, but then after he says that, he qualifies it or completely contradicts it in the next line and says mm-hmm. that only if nobody else could do it. Only if you're the only one that can do it, then Talmud, he says, Talmud kodem l'maaseh b'chol makom, and then he says, your Talmud is always kodem l'maaseh unless nobody else can do the mitzvah. If nobody else can do the mitzvah.
That's not what he says. You're saying that's what he says. You'll have to show me where he says that.
He says, im efshar l'mitzvah l'he'asot al yedei acherim lo yafsik Talmudo. V'im lav ya'aseh ha'mitzvah v'yachzor l'Talmudo. If nobody else, if the mitzvah is not able to be done by others, then you stop and do the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be done, and it has to be done, and you're the only person that can do it, then you go away from your Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it goes back to the original question. If the point is mitzvah, if the point is ma'aseh, why would you only stop if
nobody else? Is this talking about that the guy is in the middle of learning?
I think so.
How do you know?
Because yafsik Talmudo and yachzor Talmudo.
Yof. Okay, what does that have to do with the previous halacha, which was not talking about being in the middle of something? The din when you're in the middle of something, is that a din in a kol mitzvah Shabbat Torah? As we spoke about this on the night, you're in the middle of watching a guy's tablecloth. That's pruta de Rav Yosef. So if a guy comes and needs tzedakah, you don't give him tzedakah. So halachas kama, v'kama, that should be true about Talmud Torah. So how in this has nothing to do with halacha before whatsoever, right?
So this is talk. So the halacha before is just talking about in your life what your
exactly plans are. Beautiful. You're a genius. That's exactly what it's referring to. Halacha Gimel and Dalet have nothing to do with each other.
So why are
they? They're completely. All of these halachas have nothing to do with each other. Take a look. Each one of these halachot are independent descriptions of the Gadlut of Torah. Shlosha Ketarim, then in the Gadlut of Torah. The level of Kavod of Talmud Chacham over a Kohen Gadol, Mitzvah and Torah. Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol mitzvot kulam, as you just said. What does that mean? If you are selecting a path of life, right? So let's say you can have a path of life like Mordechai. You could decide you're going to save Klal Yisrael. Great path in life. Or you can have a path of life that's sitting and learning. Which one is better? Exactly. And that's exactly what it says in the Megillah. Parsha Mimeno Sanhedrin. What the hell are you wasting your time saving Klal Yisrael?
And then what's great about the Torah if it's not maybe the Dei Maaseh?
That's what's great about it, is that it's maybe the Dei Maaseh.
No, but it's not.
Sure it is. That's why it comes first. As we understood before, the whole concept of Mevili de Maaseh has to do with the nature of what Talmud is and how it involves your chibur to reality and your chibur to the Olam, correct? Okay, so it has nothing, the halachot about whether in terms of a mitzvah, whether it comes before, that's defined by halacha. Either mitzvah, she'ev shalasat ha'idecherim, if you're in the middle of basic. Which, by the way, as you pointed out initially, you didn't bring it out properly, but as you pointed out initially, it's a direct stirah. If atamud kodem lamaaseh b'chom makom, so then you should not interrupt, even if it's yevshal ha'asot ha'idei achiri. Would you interrupt another mitzvah? Would you?
No.
No? That's crazy. You just finished telling me that Talmud Torah is more chashuv than any mitzvah. And then you tell me, but of course it's less chashuv, because any other mitzvah that I had, I wouldn't be mafsik for another mitzvah, because I was sick by mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. The only mitzvah that I'm mafsik in the middle of the mitzvah is Talmud Torah, because it's not as important as a mitzvah. Does it make sense? So not only is it not an offshoot of the previous halakha, it's a contradiction to the previous halakha. Unless, which is again the way that we learned it on Leil Shavuot, unless the point is that asiyat mitzvah is subsumed within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's the point. In the same way that we understood that there's something unique about this entire idea of Talmud Mevili de Maaseh, Ve'ena Maaseh Mevili de Talmud, meaning, again, the way we understood it, is that there is no mutual relationship between the asiyah and the learning. They're two completely different worlds. In which case, the nature of asiya always subsumes the nature of limud always subsumes a deeper connection to asiya, not because of the mitzvah, but because of asiya. To put in over here sha mitzvah kodemet is irrelevant to a maaseh. They're two completely different issues. So the idea is not that Talmud ba lifnei mitzvah, sha Talmud mevili de mitzvah. The idea is that the Talmud mevili de maaseh. Which maaseh? Generic maaseh. V'horaya, that the chiyuv of limud Torah is defined in terms of the pasuk, limartem otam, and the asitem, as being the limud of the entire Torah, as the Rambam says, despite the fact that those halachot have nothing to do with the mitzvah that you're chayav. You are mechuyav to know kodashim, despite the fact that it's completely irrelevant.
He's a kohen.
Okay, but I'm saying, bisman hazeh, unfortunately, right now it's irrelevant. That has absolutely nothing to do with whether you and me, who is not a kohen, have to know all of the halachot avodah and korbanot in the Rambam. Why not? Shatam mute. Maybe lidei maaseh, and that's b'chol makom. Basically, it has nothing to do with what you're doing right now. Absolutely nothing. I do not intend to bring a korban, but my limud of zvochim will make me involved in saying good morning to my wife, will make me involved in giving tzedakah, will make me involved in kiddush b'shabbat, b'kavana, and so on and so forth. It's maybe the day Ma'aseh says nothing to do with the mitzvah, because otherwise you couldn't bring the chiyuv for limud Torah from the pasuk that the Rambam brings it. That's exactly why he says the meaning of limud and asiya is not to know the limud that allows you asiya. This confuses people about another halacha, which is the halacha that Dvora, I'm assuming there's some prepared for Dvora. That's the halacha that Dvora asked here at the beginning of the document. It confuses people because everybody believes that since a woman needs to know the halachot that she's going to have to do, so they idiotically assume that that means that nashim are chayavot in Talmud Torah on those mitzvot. It's absolutely nothing to do with anything. It's just a heksher mitzvah. You need to know what the mitzvah is. So part of the heksher mitzvah is to, obviously, to know the halachot of the mitzvah. Otherwise, how are you going to do it? What does that have to do with the chiyav of limud Torah? Nothing whatsoever.
That's the goyim learning the shiva mitzvahs because it's not Torah.
Exactly. It's just the heksher mitzvah for their mitzvah. The difference is that that limud does not make any de'asiyah. It just gives you the information. Torah is information, never is made any de'asiyah. Unless, of course, it's part of the information I'm learning, mitoch entering the space of Torah. It's a completely different thing. That's the terrible danger of learning halakha, where people concentrate on learning halakha, and therefore they never learn Torah. Because either they're interested in doing the halakha to pass the rabbanut, mifchanim, or they're interested in learning halakha because they want to be balei halakha, that they should know everything what to do, be able to pass the halakhot. They will never learn halakha of Hilchot Negaim. Why not? It's not Nogea. What do I need to know Hilchot Negaim? Not Nogea. I'm saying, but you understand the implications of this. It means that the whole mitzvah of Limud Torah that the Rambam is bringing, even though, and this is Nogea, your question, Moshe, even though he defines it in the terms of the dinim of Chazor, that it shouldn't be l'shalashkar din midine ha-Torah, and again, people confuse that with meaning, well, if you're not going to know the halacha l'maisa, din midine ha-Torah means nigaim, right? Din midine ha-Torah means pigul. Din midine ha-Torah means kilayim. And so on and so forth. That's what din midine ha-Torah. So there's nothing to do with needing to know the halachot. As a matter of fact, din midine ha-Torah includes Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh. Din midine Torah includes Hilchot Nida Shelo LaHalacha. Because it includes the dinim of Nida without any of the things that Kiblu Nashim al Atzmam. Separately, you still have to know what the Diyaraitot are. Why? I can't apply them ever. So the point, therefore, of Torah Sheba'al Peh, according to the Rambam, is a space. It's a space which includes the profound interrelationship of every last din midinei Torah. It does not include the ability to apply that, which is included in Gemara. We'll see that it partially includes it, and we'll have to speak out that concept that we'll speak it out again. But it means that you have to have the fullness of all of the resources and presences that are present in that space. That's what it means to be a Yodea Torah. Now, the question of to what level, it's clear that to what level means, this is an amazing thing because people also take for granted, since the Rambam says Yasno Kol HaTorah Kula, so obviously it's a discrete yediyah. If it's a discrete yediyah, then that would mean that he does not have any chiyuv to teach his son Gemara, right? And indeed, the Mefarshim say, okay, so it would only be mitzvah tzedakah that we would force an av to be, pay for his kid to go to learn Gemara. But that can't be true. Why? Because if it were true, then you wouldn't have a right to learn Gemara. What right would you have? When I say Gemara, again, I keep explaining this. Gemara doesn't mean Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. Gemara means the understanding of what lies within the Mishnah, the Maaseh V'Matana, whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it's Talmud or whether it's your own thoughts or a discussion with your friend, that's all called Gemara. So there's two very powerful reasons for why that's a big mistake. Reason A is that the Rambam says that in the case where you have b'no lilmod, v'hu lilmod, it says, imaya b'no navo umaskil avin, mashilmod yoter mimenu b'no kona. That has nothing to do with the space of Torah. Mevin, what does mevin have to do with the price of eggs in China? Laskil, who cares? The place where he discusses laskil and lahavin is in halacha aleph chet. Kol ish b'sirah chayev b'talmud Torah, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean chet. I mean in the shalish zaman limuda. Right, so there where the Rambam says shlish yavin v'yaskil. Shlish yavin v'yaskil davar mireshito, that's Gemara, I meant halacha yiralev. Okay, so in that halacha yiralev, you see exactly the same words that appeared over here in halacha beit, in halacha gimel, talking about whether he should send his son to learn in da. Sorry, I'm really confusing you, some different ways of splitting up. In halacha dalet, the normal print, of imaya beno navon umaskil. It's exactly the words that lahavin ulaskil. But if lahavin ulaskil is not a chelek of the yediat kol haTorah kula that the Rambam has discussed, then how is it relevant? Right. So obviously, because of these two questions: A, why would you send your son instead of you? B, whoever gave you a right to learn Gemara before you were Mekayim your mitzvah? So then we say, right? As the Rambam says in the middle of Yud Beit, in Aleph. Oh, I forgot to turn the recording. Aval, kishi yagdil b'chokhma, ולא יהיה צריך לא ללמוד תורה שבכתב ולא לעסוק תמיד בתורה שבעל פה, יקרא בעיתים מזומנים תורה שבכתב, דברי שבועה, כדי שלא ישכח דבר מדברי דיני תורה, ויפנה כל ימיו לגמרא בלבד לפי רוחב שיש בליבו ביישוב דעתו. What right does he have that shlish before he was mekayem the mitzvah? Therefore, it must be that shlish is part of the mitzvah. Why would that be? Because the meaning of the space of Torah is inaccessible unless you understand what the implications of living in a space are. If you think that the idea is a list of halachot, which is what happened, but this is what destroyed Sephardic Limud, is exactly this issue. And that's why they gave up on they changed the nature of the bracha. Al divrei Torah instead of la'asok b'divrei Torah. You'll notice that the makor of the word la'asok is what the Rambam says over here, which is amazing. This is b'me dvar b'tchilat talmudo shel adam. Okay. However, after he knows everything, and what? And lo yetzarich lo lilmor Torah shebichtav v'lo la'asok tabid b'torah shebapeh. What does that mean? He's not talking about Gemara. What does lasok b'divrei Torah mean? And that means that the Rambam is telling you that lasok b'divrei Torah has to do without Gemara. It has to do with the etzem meaning of what Torah Shebaal Peh is, right? That's a big mistake that people make, because of which the people end up never discovering the space of Torah. But in order to do that, and because of that, they end up becoming b'kiim in halacha, but amei haaretz in terms of what does it mean to live in the space of Torah? They may accidentally discover it because of the fact that Halavayot Yazvo, V'Torat Yishamaro, Aliolam Yomat Shalolishma, Seder. They may discover it, which is why the Gdolim, that really are Isaac, Kolazman and Terah, will discover such a thing. Yeah, come on, close. But it's not the mitzvah ki mitzvato. That's what's amazing. They give up on the mitzvah. So you see from here, close that door, please. So you see from here that the etzem mitzvah of being in that space, not having that terah, includes the novenu maskil, which is given to you from Gemara. Why? I don't need the novenu maskil. Remember, the din of the Gemara does not mean that if I'm learning the dinim of zvachim, that I need to learn mesechet zvachim in terms of the Gemara. I might say mesechet zvachim, even my own mesechet zvachim. So I could be learning the dinim of psulei amugdashim, psulei amizbeach, and I am being Isaac in my Gemara. I'm being Isaac in Hilchot Shabbat. For that matter, I'm being Isaac in Nayasim al Kavah. What do I understand? So how is that? So here you see again the same thing. These different components and different elements of Talmud Torah are all part of what the space of the Torah means, not what the information of the Torah means. None of it. In which case, the fact that I understand the nature of Navonu Maskil, not that I have an access to Navonu Maskil of this, but I know how to think about Hilchos Shabbos. If you know how to think about Hilchos Shabbos, then your Zvachim is a totally different Zvachim. And that's true. We all know that. Every last piece of additional Itpatchut in how it is that your mind is Teifes, what it means to say a word in halacha, and immediately your whole mind explodes into all of those possibilities as soon as you learn. It's amazing. It's like magic, right? And that's true bechlal in human development, because after all, that's what Torah is. Torah is the ultimate human development. It's the ultimate cheiros of the human mind. And that the Rambam defines is what Avraham Avinu was looking for the whole time. So this is mitoch shvuato that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu. It's part of cheiros. It's not, people again make this mistake. The fact that charut haraluchot is a very valuable thing that Torah gives you. It's not a very valuable thing that Torah gives you. It's what Torah is. And you only were given it mitoch the relationship to Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu was a freedom fighter. And therefore, in his question of Bameida, was the question of, and what possible connection do my children have to searching for freedom when they're all going to be Japs and Yeshiva Bochrim? So why would they have any shaykhs to Torah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, believe me, if they go through Yetzias Mitzrayim, they won't be Japs Yeshiva Bochur. Maybe 99% of them will. But there will always be somebody who will be free. Right? Fine. Chamushi. Exactly. Echad B'Shesh Mi'ot Elef. Whatever. But it's not shayach that your children will not produce freedom fighters. Those freedom fighters are freedom fighters only because they have brains. The only way that they have brains is guaranteed is by Torah. So it's the agency of Cheiros. It's the Metzias of Cheiros. It's not that it's an additional point of Torah.
That's why it's implicit in the Bris with Avram.
Yeah, it's part of the Bris with Avram.
That's the Avos Lamdu Torah.
The what?
Avos Lamdu Torah.
That was the essence of what they were doing.
That was what their life
was. Exactly. What else were they doing? What made them others?
So how could they become a problem? In every life, in every...
Exactly. Doesn't matter where you are, right? Doesn't matter what your current question is. How to parent your children, how much time to give to parenting your children, what my career should be, what university I should go to, anything. B'chol b'kom, your first question has to be, where will you most achieve limud? Not where will you most, where will you most achieve saving Klal Yisrael? That, and that's also a complete inversion of what people think.
Of
course not. That he already said in terms likboa or Torah tokva. Kva has nothing to do with the amount of hours necessarily, right?
But then, so the only person that doesn't learn for his life is somebody that can't.
Somebody who doesn't learn.
Somebody who chooses maisa over or before his eye.
He, more, no, it's because you can't. You have no way to get out of it.
The only person who can't
If you, it, if, remember that even where it's nogea, the Rambam hasn't even begun telling you the halachas in terms of which mitzvah is kodemet, right? Because that's nogea is it a mitzvah shavah zman? That's nogea is Torah to umnuto or not? Is it a deoraita derabon? And so on and so forth. Those are halachas of their own halachas. He's not coming bechlal to discuss that issue over here. Right? He's only telling you the opposite of what you thought. You would have thought that since Talmud is maybe the day Maaseh, so therefore, even if it's Yef Shalasas, I'm in the middle of doing a Maaseh. Well, doing a Maaseh Mitzvah. So why should I be Mafsik? Because if you're not Mafsik, then your Maaseh is screwed. I mean, your Limud is screwed. That's the point. Because your Limud is connected to this Maaseh.
But then why don't you stop somebody else from doing it? Why don't you take that opportunity from Maaseh?
Because the point is that the responsibility for Maisa, again, is not mitzvah. It's for my connection to the way the world is. So somebody else is going to do the. That's what Ben Azai says. I'm just not going to waste my time on reproduction. There's tens of millions of people out there wasting their time doing nothing but. I have important things to do. This is true. It's like Rambam says, you know, if you take a little break, like he says in the Amora, to that guy that writes him a question about Gan Eden. I really appreciate your question. Having taken a nice break from all of your sex and all of your food and all of your swimming pools and something, it's nice that you had 10 minutes to think about this brilliant question. You ask it out of here. That's literally what he says. You know, people, you know, the dilettantes, they're sitting around and they got their questions and they're great. No, without having the slightest idea what Torah is, you know, you have like a whole arrogant halakim of Klal Yisrael. You know, they don't have any idea not what the halakas of Torah are, not what the mitzias of Torah is, not what the cheres of Torah is. And they have this hashkafa problem, that hashkafa problem, but really maybe we should do Torah differently, right? The chutzpah of it, the hours of it, you have to take a little bit of time off of your mishigasin. You're going to ask me questions I'm supposed to waste my time answering you. Go back, get the basic information, and come back in 5 years and we can talk as human beings. I didn't waste my time with you. Fine. So that's a given. So what it is, therefore, that the Rambam is saying is exactly the opposite of what he appears to say. It's amazing. But he usually does that. No, he does that on purpose, like the Ravitz said. I'd swear he's doing this just to screw us over. And it's true. Of course he does it just for that. Because it's the only way that he can get you to think. Right? So there you go. What? That doesn't make any sense. That's right. So use your noggin, stupid. That's the issue of Teresh about that. Exactly.
You preserve the way that Mishnah
is. Of course, 100%. The Rebbe does the same thing in the Mishnah.
Forces you to figure out,
of course. Yeah. Okay, so that's as far as that question, which relates to Dvorah's question at all about women learning. Because the idea of the women learning is that the chia does not exist, period. The pturah from Talmud Torah, that's the beginning of the whole sugya. Absolute pturah from Talmud Torah. They need to know the halacha to be b'kayim a mitzvah. What does that have to do with Talmud Torah? It has nothing to do with Talmud Torah. It has to do with actual mitzvah. If you have to do it, you have to do it. So find out how to do it. What does that have to do with Talmud Torah? There, and the same thing as Moshe said is true about Akum. So the Sheva mitzvahs, they have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah for Sheva mitzvah. You're crazy. It just means that when they're learning the halacha for Sheva mitzvahs, they're not learning Torah. And there's no issur in that because what they're doing is not for the purpose of Torah. It's for the purpose of getting instructions. The Torah is not an instruction manual. The Torah is a space. You need instruction. Fine, you can read this part of that space, which won't have any meaning to you in terms of the space, but which will speak to you in terms of instructions. 99% of idiots in Klal Yisrael, as Ramat says, Rov Gome Yisrael, they're a bunch of gaylims. So this is exactly the way they're learning Torah. So what are you supposed to do about that? They think that's Torah. They think Torah is an instruction book. It says it's a Shulchan Aruch. They missed the whole point. So instead of having shaykhus to what Torah is, they look only to the information content that could help them to do a mitzvah here and there. which they happen to need right now, why they would need to worry about the details of these halakhas, which probably will never come up, is beyond me. You know, I should know. I should know the dinim of nida, the araisa. What do I need to know that for? I have my little pamphlet that the Rav HaRashi put out, and I know exactly what to do. No, what's your problem? Everything is like this. But this is going to be, I'd say, the space of Torah? Absolutely not. If it was a question of knowing what to do, so ask somebody what to do. So that means this element, that is the Shlish Zmanai, is an absolute part of what it means to give over Torah. So we're talking about something completely different than what people understand. Now, as far as the limud of women are concerned, as the Rambam clearly defined, a woman... What?
If this Torah is the chirut, so woman has no access to chirut.
First of all, to some extent, that's exactly the case, unfortunately. Of course she has access, but she's not mechuyevet. She's not mechuyevet to be on this darga of chirut because her chirut consists of serving chirut, just like it did in Mitzrayim. The Nashim Tzidkoniyos in Mitzrayim were the commitment to making certain that this enterprise, which will blossom into Chirut, survives. The men, when they weren't able to be B'nai Chayr, they stopped functioning. That's the whole point. So a woman has a completely different vision of how to proceed in such a way as to guarantee the ultimate emergence of this Darga of Chirut. And that's the reason that Pesachus of Noshim Zitkaniyot Yatsubi Mitzrayim. And that's the reason that from the point of view of Miriam at 5 years old, Amram was crazy. But we know that Amram wasn't crazy because the Gemara said that we should make the same takana bizmaninu, except that no one will listen to us. It's Gzera She'en Rov HaTzibur Yecholim La'amid. But if not for that, we would tell everybody, don't have kids. What? We already learned it from Miriam that that's not true. Not so. It is true. But it has nothing to do with Nashim Tzidkoniyos. So ultimately, if you're undermining the entire mission, so then fine, you don't have a right to make those determinations, as far as she's concerned, right? However, I don't want to go into the details of that now. But it's clearly a completely different tfisa. As far as whether women have a mitzvah when they learn Torah, and as far as whether you should teach a woman who comes to learn Torah, of course, the Rambam says Beferish, of course they do. Do they have access to the Madrega that Torah gives to the man? Absolutely. How do I know? The Rambam says so. He says that even though a woman is not Muhuyevet, but if she learns Torah, yesh la sachar, right? Isha shalamda Torah in Aleph Yud Gimel, yesh la sachar, avo eno kezachar ha'ish, bipnei shelo nitztavet. What does that mean? It means that since she doesn't have the challenges in terms of the limud, and she doesn't have the mitzvah, the rule is that kol ha'oseh davar she'eino mitzuva alav lasoto, nothing to do with Talmud Torah. A general statement. Whoever does any action as a volunteer cannot escape. You pulled out the plug and now I don't have a battery. Cannot get the schar of someone who is doing it because he was a mitzvah. Why? A brilliant reason. Because he doesn't have kafal yam har chagigis. What's the value of Kafalei Barachigigis? The fact that you become free of the underlying reality that it was your choice to say Nasa Benishma. Kafalei Barachigigis means that the person realizes, yeah, of course it was my choice, but did I have any choice? Did I really have a choice? That's the way the Maral explains it. Did I really have a choice? What I could actually conceive of living without Torah? I could actually conceive of saying no? Of course not. So that clarity that ultimately I had no choice means that in the end you're free of the imprisonment of your own choices. Because it's reality that imposes itself upon you rather than you creating the reality. So for anybody who has any connection to Torah, Kaf Aleihem Har HaGigis was the final key to freedom. To anyone who didn't have a connection to freedom, Kaf Aleihem Har HaGigis was completely destructive. And that's exactly what needed to be achieved. Let's get it straight. Who's in and who's out? So anyone who's Kaf Aleihem Har HaGigis was the reason that he had a L'chaim that night. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm out of this nonsense of always thinking about myself. Fine. Such a person, Enochinami. He was Zeichel Torah. Anybody who's Kaf Aleihem Har HaGigis, what is Kriyateva B'nei Kriyateva, went back to Gan Eden and lost his Nitzchias. Achein Ka'adam Tumutun, right? It's an amazing thing. However, what are the implications?
Rabbi?
Yes?
Rabbi?
Yes.
Does that mean that women enter into the space of Torah, into the space of Chayrut Daf, through being in Azer?
Being
an Azer is the equivalent of having...
No, it does not. Because the Rambam continues to say, anybody who is Oysadav Shein Mitzvah Lavla Soto, his Sachar is not the same as the Sachar of a Mitzvah Sha'asa. And then he puts on the nonsensical words, Ela Pachot Mimeno. I mean, what do we think? Ela Yoter Mimeno. What he's going to say, Ein Scharo Kischar HaMetzuvah, Ela Yoter Mimeno. I mean, the whole halach is shouting the opposite, right? Obviously, it can't be Ela Yoter Mimeno. Eino Kischar HaYish. So what could possibly be the meaning of Ela Pachot Mimeno? Doesn't make any sense. Unless the meaning of Pachot is the way my father Zatzal learned, is such a beautiful pshat. Pachot Mimeno by definition means it's quantitative and not qualitative. Pachot V'yoter is, that's exactly the way we say in Hebrew, Pachot V'yoter, Pachos V'yoser, as they say. Pachos V'yoser. And Afkamina is not quality, quantity. But what that means, that a woman has exactly the same relationship to Torah that a man has. The only difference is that the schar is quantitatively less. But in terms of the qualitative application of what the Torah has given her, it's exactly the same, except that she didn't work on the same level. It can't be with the same intensity. That's something else. But as far as the presence of women, both in terms of Limud Torah and in terms of Psak Halacha throughout the Doras, absolutely no difference. Absolutely no difference. There's many Peskim that quote their wives. This halacha I learned from my wife, this halacha I learned from my mother-in-law. The whole Sefer of Chavos Yoyer is based on that, right? That's the Chavos Yoyer. Why does he call himself the Chavos Yoyer of Bacha? Because he learned all of his Torah from Chava. That was the name of the mother-in-law. It was, I'm Chava's Yoyer. So he said it's like a play on words. Chavot Yoyer, Chava's Yoyer. Because I know only her Torah from her. This throughout the Torahs. There's a double portion. Of course women learn Torah. And of course women teach Torah. That's a given. The only question is, what is it saying over here? So you would think that since it's a good thing for her and that she's capable of learning Torah and that she would have the same darga of learning Torah, the Chachamim said, don't teach your daughter Torah. They are not inclined towards abstract learning of new spaces. And instead, they're motziot divrei Torah ledivrei havai, lefianiyut da'atan. Why? Because they will treat divrei Torah the way yeshiva bochum treat divrei Torah. And they will use them to, okay, what's this nogea? A paskin halacha. Whatever. But the thought that there's this abstract space will never occur to them. And that basically is such a reduction in the meaning of Torah that it's totally destructive and in the end will be misused. So what's the point of teaching that? So you'll say, okay, so this means that women shouldn't learn Torah. The Rambam says exactly the opposite, because he says a person should not teach his daughter Torah. What the heck does it have to do with teaching your daughter? If it's a din in women, then say, Shalom, maybe you should teach Torah. So obviously that's not true. There is no such mitzvah that a woman should not learn Torah or that you should not teach a woman Torah. So what is the mitzvah? We'll put it into context, man. What's the opening halakha? Nashim, avadim, uktanim, durim, talmud Torah. But an Adam is chayav lelamed et b'no Torah. Okay, so you'll say, okay, so I'll be chayav to be melamed b'ni. So I could put in there as an extra, I'll teach b't. She'll have schar, she'll become a bat scharin, which means that I would do to her the way I do to my son, which means I would abuse her, essentially. Right? Sit down, you. Now you concentrate, you hear me? But daddy, I don't want to learn Hilchos Shabbos. You're going to learn Hilchos Shabbos. You don't want to go to sleep. No, you're staying there. Not allowed to do that to your daughter. That's what it means.
Maybe.
On the other hand, if your daughter comes to you and says, I want so much to listen into Daf Yomi, can I listen into Daf Yomi? Of course. Anything that you want. Please. She wants to have a chelek in Torah? How's the chat say no to someone who's kind of looking tired?
Say, where were you yesterday's blood?
That's right. That's your guess. That's right. Yes. Alon?
It is exactly my experience among children. My daughters willingly want to learn. My son, you have to clap him, force him. He doesn't want to. He's always objecting. My daughters have a natural inclination to learn and want Torah.
Right. But if you went to teach them, they wouldn't.
No, but you don't have to. That's the point. You don't even have to.
No, you don't have to. You shouldn't.
Okay.
You should not. Which is the reason that a school is not allowed to teach women Torah. Because anyone in the school is only in the school not because they want to learn Torah. They're in the school because somebody decided women have to learn Torah. Okay, that's prohibited. That's something else. And even there, it's not so clear because a lot of women learning Torah today is nothing but feminism. It's not a real desire to learn Torah. That's a problem. In other words, if the only reason I want to learn Torah is because there's not going to be any one of these pant wearers that's better than I am, so then that's stupid. That has nothing to do with learning Torah, right? It has to be that I have a desire to learn Torah. Right.
Is it possible that also the story of Yaakov and Esau is
referring
to Yekiva, that it becomes in terms of Torah, what Rabbi was saying earlier about the enabling of Chirus. It becomes Mamish in terms of Torah, that Shalim, Shalach, and Shalav.
Totally.
That is the focus of the
totally, Torah. That's right. Beautiful aura. That's exactly what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So, what do you mean? You think you have Torah, she doesn't have Torah. Everything you have is coming from her. So what kind of stupidity is that? That means that she goofa will enochidami. That's the Noshibamaika Zachian and so on and so forth. That's the Gemara. But the idea over here is that she could even have her own personal mandrega in terms of learning, if that's what she wants. But if you try to give it to her, you're being pogea both in her and in the Torah. That's all he's saying. To be male, it's a din in Av and Bito, because at that time, Av and Bito was the only limud of Torah for women until just 100 years ago, right? There was no such thing there was no takona ben gamla, there was no takona, obviously, for girls. It was only for boys in order to be molicho to melame tinokos. So therefore, there was never this problem in Klal Yisrael. Because of the need to create institutional learning for women, that's when this became a problem, because then There were some who created institutional learning. It became gradual and gradually more. And it wasn't this way originally, obviously. That wasn't the Besyakov movement. It was to learn things that are 100% good to teach women. But the things that nowadays are taught only because of social pressure, not because the women really want to learn it. Then that becomes a whole problem. Can you have a mosad like that? Fine, okay, but that's the gate of halacha. But certainly in terms of what Dvorah was asking, it's a muvan Dvorah. Hello? Chavas Yoyer coming in.
I'm really aimed.
That's not usually the right terror things. Okay. Dvorah,
in teaching children and daughters, what should one emphasize in terms of Torah, Mishnah, Gomorrah, with the girls?
Teaching is not your business. It's her business. What does she want to learn? You're not teaching her. You're not supposed to teach her. What did she come to you to learn? Anything that you teach her is liable to be destructive. He doesn't say you could teach some things, not other things.
But in the end here, the Torah
Shabbat Peh is not Tiflis, he says. Because there's no way for it to utilize, Torah Shabbat Ksav, I mean, is not Tiflis. Because she can't be Motzi Torah Shabbat Ksav, it's only what it is. By the way, the other thing that we skipped was the difference between the Asik that I touched on before, but didn't get to the bottom of. But once we're talking about the difference between Torah Shabbat Ksav and Torah Shabbat Peh, it's really amazing, because when you take a look at the idea of Tzorech L'shalei Siman Limudei, this he says, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, let's just review the words again, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, B'tchilat Talmudo Shel Adam, Aval, Kishi Yagdil B'chokhma, Lo Yehei Tzorech, Lo L'ilmot Torah Shebichtav. I don't know who's. You have your kids in there, and you're not. Sounds like. Okay. Look at the difference. He doesn't need to learn Torah Shabbat anymore. Lo lomot Torah Shabbat. Lo lasok tamid b'Torah Shabbat Peh. What does that mean? Lo lasok tamid b'Torah Shabbat Peh. To what level does he not need to be Osek B'Torah Shabbat Peh? Yikrabi timezumanim Torah Shebichtav v'divrei Hashmua. Both of them are the same in terms of itimezumanim. Kedei shelo yishkach davar midivrei Torah. V'yifaneko yamav l'gmara bilvad. Okay, so then that means during the period in which he is still learning the Torah Shabbat Peh, he needs to be Osek Tomid. How could that be? Always busy with Torah Shabbat Peh, if it's just a matter of learning that discrete issue. So again, you see clearly that the learning of this discrete getter of Torah is, even though it's discrete, is b'chayev the type of relationship to it, to be kaina it, that is Elah Soktomi, which borders on elements of Gemara. Why? Because otherwise you do not experience it as a space at all. It just is one piece of information that is connected to another piece of information. Without ASIC in it, you never enter into that space. Right? This is further the problem we spoke of before. The problem making the brocha al divrei Torah or la asok b'divrei Torah makes all the difference in the world in terms of the impact, on the literal impact, in terms of social impact, and how it affected society with love.
It has to be the zumanim, apparently. It doesn't mean from time to time. My kesha has to be that I do it at regular times, or else there's a lack of fears in my relationship with it.
But possibly. Possibly. I don't know whether you can take it that far. Because the Itim Zumanim, all he's trying to say is that since every person is different, You need to plan it out in such a way for your mind that you won't come to forget.
It needs a plan.
Needs a plan. That's correct. It's not the same as kviyut. It's a different word. Needs a plan. Needs a plan. That's the correct word, a perfect word. So it's like within 30 days. Otherwise, I start forgetting. That type of thing. Or for somebody else, it's wow, every week or whatever. And it's depending on what kind of memory you have. So then you make that plan. That there's no specific halacha in terms of that. So I still didn't get Dvorah's response. Does she feel that her question was answered? There's Simcha, it says Dvorah's name over there separately, but she's not answering. Are you in the house? You able to help her?
I don't know. We're in different locations.
Oh, all right. But maybe she doesn't know how to answer. Fine. Okay.
אני פשוט באוטו עם הילדים בחזרה, אני לא יכולה לכתוב, אני מאוד מאוד שמחה למה שאני שמעתי, והשאלה נולד ממש, לי לדוגמה, מאוד משמעותי ללמוד, זה מה שמחבר אותי, כל התהליך שעשיתי ממתי הייתי קטנה, הלימוד, ובאתי לארץ גם כדי ללמוד, ואני אשתף איתך איזה מכתב של איזה רב שהוא כתב נראה ב-1400 על דינה, מלכות דינה, יש מכתב של איזה רב שהוא מדבר גם על זה, על הלימוד, אם היא רוצה שהיא יכולה ללמוד, ופשוט אני מרגישה מאוד חלק עכשיו. יוסף.
למרות שאת צריכה לנהוג באוטו ולהביא את הילדים ממקום למקום. על זה דיברנו בדיוק, על החירות.
טוב, בכל מקרה, אני גם אכתוב שוב
ביותר. מה שאת כותבת, אנחנו נשתדל להתייחס אליו.
להבין. תודה רבה.
בכל טוב.
תודה.
אוקיי. So what it turns out here is that the mitzvah has so many different components. And that's the amazing thing. This was one of the questions that you asked, Marcia. What does it mean, that's number 9 here, what does it mean to have these separate mitzvot as part of the same mitzvah? We don't find that there's two mitzvot, one of Lulat Torah, one of Olamei Torah, one of Yediyas HaTorah, and one of Chazorah HaTorah, and so on. But Lamaisa, we're bringing separate mikares to all of these things. They come from literally separate mikares, right? And that's we have one mitzvah that only applies to Beno and to himself. One mitzvah that applies to anybody, Beno, Ben Beno, or Kol HaTalmidim. But those are mitzvahs that are in terms of Yediyas HaTorah. Then we have another mitzvah in terms of learning, just to be Isaac in learning, which is something that has Vigita Bayoma Valayla, which Be'etzem, since it is not a new chiyuv, is the only reason that we can bring a raya from Yehoshua. You can't bring a raya from Yehoshua to a new mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu can't tell Yehoshua, hey, Yehoshua, go tell him there's a new mitzvah I just came up with. Forgot to tell Moshe, but you know, Vigita bo yom avalayla, that's ridiculous. Eina virashay lechadesh davar miata. If Yehoshua would try to do that, they would shoot him. It would be a Navi Sheker, right? Aloha. So what that means is that it's a given that all of these aspects are the aspects of a single mitzvah, which is how the Rambam is understanding the entire thing. It's a single mitzvah which provides for you the access, application, development, and the consequences of what it is to be a chelek of Talmud Torah. That has many different parts to it, and each part is mechazik the other. And sometimes it involves other people because that's the only way for you to be involved, because be'etzem, that's what the mitzvah is all about. It's not about something that you do for yourself. It's about how do I become part of the Yerusha of Terah, which is Moresha Kivat Yaakov. That's ultimately the question. Voraya, Keter Torah, is only mine because Moresha Kivat Yaakov. The Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe only opens up, what's the connection? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moresha Kivat Yaakov, the contradiction. If Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, so then how does the Gemara in Sanhedrin say that the Moresha Hilehem Misheshet Yimei Bereshit is the meaning of Moresha Kivat Yaakov? It's the opposite. It's Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. But it's supposed to be ours the whole time. So obviously that very pasuk is saying that the Torah that Moshe is mitzvahs, in exactly the same way that the Torah that you personally learn, the Torah that you personally give over to your children, the Torah that you raise in via Gisa Bayom of Alayla, is all part of one Yerusha. The fact that it's experienced in so many different ways and has so many different parts, even the Shalish, the Shalish Zman Limudei, are those separate mitzvahs? Of course not. They're all clearly elements which a person has to be makpid to know that he has to be oisik in. They're all elements. So those three things are elements. The etzem reality of the limud is elements. The fact that this limud is a knisa into the presence of the Shechina, and that kol aloi me tera b'layla, as the Gemara Tamid says, Shechina is yosheves kenegda. That's part of the Kisra Shel Torah, which is part of the Meirosh Kivas Yaakov. Why aren't they all different things? Because there's the mitzvah zu karaui. There's the mitzvah, and then there's the mitzvah karaui. So very often like that. You're able to be yotzei achiyev, but there's elements of the mitzvah that a person has to be capable of. And that's Mishna Sor Libo. No. You mustn't leave us. When will you come again?
Hanukkah.
Really?
Hope so.
Okay. We're going to miss you very much. You have to start. You have to start.
Can I go on the Zoom?
Yes, you have to start getting on Zoom. Yeah. You know, even Tallahassee probably hasn't, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll miss you. Thank you so much for everything. To go back to Tallahassee. That's a pretty scary name, right? So these things, all of these things together are one incredible mitzvah, and that's the mission is only Balukayim mitzvah Kzukarawi. That's what the Rambam is saying. These are different chalokim. There's a way to technically be Mekayim this mitzvah, and there's this way to understand that this is not a mitzvah like other mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah that's kind of everything because it goes all the way back to Kilas Yaakov. So what darga do you want to get involved in the mission, in the mitzvah? Because there's no end. There's probably no end to it. Do you want to do it correct? Will you? Don't think about anything else. This is all that there is. Are you shy to that? Is the Harvey Yosek Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, are you shy to that? Where do we see this in other mitzvahs? There's only one other place where something vaguely similar where we give a din of Mahadrin, a Mahadrin, and a Mahadrin. So we give you l'chatchila, ways in which you can recognize that a mitzvah has different madregas to those who are shy at different levels of Gula, right? You're not happy.
Me?
Yeah.
No, right.
You stopped being happy about 15 minutes ago. Why? Which part is like, no, I saw the change. What's that? Yeah. But which part is it? All right, try to figure it out. It's important to get to the bottom of it. So the fact that we have the nature of a mitzvah that's given to us in this way in the Rambam means by definition that he's looking at it as one incredible mitzvah that has different ways in which it could be mityaches to it and that ultimately could be everything that there is for you. This is why it's so confusing. Because it has a discrete definition. The discrete definition is very partial to be Mekayim, right? There's no one who has any serious problem in reading Tanakh well enough to know 24 Svarim, a short Svarim, relatively speaking, you know, compared to Harry Potter, I mean, right? So nobody has a problem in memorizing Harry Potter. So why would you have a problem? You don't need to memorize, you just need to know it, right? Okay, so fine. So you know that. And then all you'd need to do is learn the Rambam and a few extra little things, which takes a year, 2 or 3 years maximum, right? Even a one parak a day, so you learn a half an hour. And you have another half an hour for Chazar. You become the mitzvah.
You need to know it in the third year.
What's that?
You need to know the first year and the third year.
No, you need to know it sufficiently to be able to chazar it. You give an hour a day if you want, I'm saying, but it's a very, it's not a bigger job than getting your degree, right? So anybody can do it, and it's taken for granted that it's doable. And then you learn 5 minutes a day in the morning and 5 minutes a day in the evening to be Mekayim Gizba Yom Halayla, and that's fine. It's wonderful. Somebody's going to come to you with tainus. You have a right to live. There is a machai of this. When the Rambam says Mishnah Sa'oli Bo, he means exactly that. Nobody can come to you beyond Adin and say, so how come you didn't learn Yom HaValayla? And you can say, what do you mean? Yom HaValayla means 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening, and I did. So how can anybody tell you? Were you given a right to lead your life exactly the way that you want to lead it? With the type of parnasa, the type of lifestyle, of course. Does it mitzvah to forego a normal life for anybody? Of course not. So that's the Hanheg Beminag Derech Eretz, as the Gemara says, whatever. Yasafta Deganecha, Vitiroshka Yitzarecha. Whatever. This is the, you know, I could take off on Shemitah, take a sabbatical. That's what sabbaticals are for. You can learn. But normally speaking, whatever you want to do with your life, you have a right to do with your life. This new Mishigas, the people are supposed to be in Kailo and so on and so forth, is an absolute insanity. It has no mocker in Kolatara Kula. The only reason for such a thing was because of desperate measures that were necessary to take for the survival of terror, for the survival of people in a society that left them without any belief systems. Fine, so they needed this. But to turn around to claim that this is part of the way that the Torah is mechayev you to live is completely nuts. What? If wherever you're making your choice. This is in Perek Shlishi.
So what about your choice when you're 18 to which life you want?
Fine. Fine, of course. You make that choice. But in terms of the hour a day that you'll have to do mitzvahs or an hour a day that you'll have to do learning, which path should you choose? The one that does learning. That's all that it's saying. No matter what the circumstances, learning is always more important than mice. Because it's the thing that gives you a life that will allow you to do mice. That will drive you to do mice. That will make you care about do mice. That will broaden you so that you'll even know what mice to do. Otherwise, you'll end up with like every idiot 9-to-5 jobber who will have no life at all. And we'll go to Seder, but we'll have no awareness, we'll have no connection to Cherus. We'll never be growing. That's that kind of life you want. That's he's saying, but he's saying that in the context also, remember. He's saying that in context of the Shloshei Ksarim. That's what he's saying. So this is the me. Mishnas Olibo. There it says Tchilas Dinah Shel Adam Eino Nidon Al HaTalmud V'Achar Kach Al HaMaisa. That's all true. Mashenken over here, he's talking about the Yikr Zman. That's all. So then why does he say Mishnas Olibo? Is it a Chiyav or not? Yes or no? You can't have it both ways.
So it's only...
How can you say a halacha in the Torah and say Mishnah is a olibo?
But then how is it only applicable to someone who's made the choice of
Mishnah is a olibo? I understand. Why does he say it there? Yeah, so it's nidan al ha-talmud v'achar kach al ha-maisim. It doesn't mean that you necessarily, that tchilas dinai is how come you didn't learn more. whatever you were doing, the first thing we want to hear about, do you know what you learned? You were actually osek in what you learned? It meant something to you what you learned? Okay, excellent. You get a 98 on that. Next. What about the meisim that you did? Which meisim did you do? Did you get married and put up a family? Did you mekadesh shem shamayim? So those are the general issues. Your mitzvahs, obviously, your mitzvahs. Here we're talking about meisim, right? It's a completely different element of dinim also. That's the point. But this is mamish, the introduction, these dargas, the milas of Torah, the keser of Torah, the din of Torah, the chashivas of Torah in terms of kavod, are what introduce halacha vav, mishnah so, l'kayim mitzvah zo karoi. Now you know what you're talking about. Understand the chashivas of this mitzvah. Do you want to really give it what it takes? But that's up to you. I can't tell you, do you have to give it what it takes? I can't tell you mechuyev to be muchta beketer haTorah. What if you're like just a low class guy who has no interest in being muchta beketer haTorah? You want to be muchta with TV programs? Well, who's going to argue with you? Who's going to be mechayev you otherwise?
If you have the Torah code, and then the mitzvah is always havaliyacha.
If you have the Torah.
If the Torah is kodem for you, then
right.
The mitzvah is always
bala yadcha. The mitzvah itself is always bala yadcha. As along with every mitzvah.
You don't go out searching and can't do the mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it still true that it's in terms of kiyum, the kayim mitzvahs of karoi? And just in karoi is different than just...
You know, yeah, of course it is. It's always, every mitzvah is always kiyum.
In the same way,
there's a Mahadran.
There's two things.
It can't be Machai of you and Mahadran either. But I can say, if someone is Mahadran, how much money should he pay for Mahadran? Right? So I can say, he could pay whatever, whatever it is. Right? But I certainly cannot be Machai of you, and the Rambam's not being Machai of you. And he's telling you the afterwards, the type of midas that are necessary to be involved in such a thing, and what you have to be prepared for to be involved in such a thing. It's all very nice to say I'd like it, but you have to be prepared to lead a life like that. And that's are you prepared to lead a chayetzar if necessary? If not, then don't fool yourself. If it's more important for you to have the correct lifestyle and the comforts of your home, so then fine. So then be mekayim the mitzvah like the halacha. These are things you need to know. This is kachi darka shel Torah. Doesn't mean you have to starve. It means you have to be willing to starve if that's what it takes. So if you're going to lose your job because you're unable to give them enough, so fine. So then you'll lose your job. Are you ready for that or not?
He still says, but
that's only in the context of knowing what is necessary. Not as a given that this is what has to be, right? This is what it means to be able to be in the mind space of Torah. It's exactly like Rebbe. Did Rebbe live a life of tzar? No. Was he zoykef eser atzparis of lebalatzi? Wasn't menekum for melamazah? Yes. So Rebbe wasn't mekayim, the din of paspar melach tochal. Of course he was. Right? I mean, how can you learn otherwise? It's just to use a little bit of seichel of what he's saying. So this is the way I envision my life. If I happen to be a multimillionaire or I'm called upon because of this, or I'm going to be able to learn better because I eat better, or whatever it is, of course I'll do that. But I should bedafka learn worse, but I should feel I don't have kayak to learn. I mean, that makes no sense.
What's the distinction between Yos Muchta and Chesetare and Yuskov Chesetare that Rebbe is Masker?
First, let's get the Iker things down. Because Mikey's got problems up here. He wants to talk out. But... Okay. But first, let's concentrate on the getting clear the Iker halacha, the implications of this halacha. Because this is halacha that is easily translatable into action. Right? It's easy to do this. Even if you're chas v'shalom, you're an isha, you're married to a woman, you have children. And I think it says also, v'afilu lo made by yeshiva, mitzvah. Right? It's still a mitzvah to learn Torah. Well, for sure, but it's still a mitzvah to learn Torah. So it's actually within anybody's reach to be mekayim these mitzvahs. And no matter, you know, no matter how busy you are, this is obviously, it's capable to be done. So somebody starts off every day without having any idea, what am I going to do today? So his day is completely chaotic, and at the end of the day, hasn't done a damn thing. And this is most people. This is what happens every single day. I thought I had this time, I thought I had that time. That is exactly what this mitzvah is mechayev, not leading that kind of life at all. Okay, so therefore I know that first of all, I have to have kviyut in the morning and in the evening, even if it's for 5 minutes. Secondly, I know there's a certain amount of material that I need to finish in terms of the mitzvah of Yeshali Zman Limudai. So if I make an analysis that every day, on an average, I have an hour free, or in the Rambam's example, I have 9 hours free, whatever it is, however many hours you have free, then that needs to be defined by you. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be spending a half an hour in this and a half an hour in this and a half an hour in that. Obviously, that's a machlek. That's the Rambam's approach, is that it's really exactly the same, and you split b'shalish and limudai, even those who hold that it means literally b'shalish, but maybe you should prorate it. You know, it takes longer to learn Torah Shebaal Peh than it does to that you want to be able to finish it. Whatever, all kinds of pshatim, whatever you want to say to pshatim. But there's definitely a way to define your day that you are not being mevatel this mitzvah. That's the chiyuv of l'shalish b'miludei, and that's the chiyuv of v'gizba yom v'laila. And the question of how it feels to lead a life like that, that's the question of mishnah d'sol libo. Because you can be Mishnah and Sol Libo. Believe me, the Rambam was still the Sol Libo, the Kai Mitzvah Zuid. He was Mukhtu Bekesra Torah, despite the fact that he only had half an hour a day to learn. You know, when he was doing his medical stuff with the Sultan and so on. So what? So it's horrible. You're right, it's horrible. But it doesn't change the fact that you can be a Mukhtu Bekesra Torah no matter what it is. He's not giving you. There's no definition, external definition. So that's what we were medayik about Kisra Shel Torah being munach v'yomi. What is called munach v'yomi? Why didn't the Rambam just say, Kisra Torah kol echad v'yechad yochol zakei salam? What are you telling me that it's munach v'yomi? What does it even mean to be munach v'yomi? I mean, if it's munach, it isn't ayimei. If it's ayimei, it isn't munach. I mean, I think normally we say something is nach, so then it's not standing, no? I mean, the munach v'omed itself is a strange way of saying things. Obviously, it's an expression, munach v'omed. But what does it imply, such a thing as being munach v'omed? It's just as strange as having an af al gav. Or a kel chai v'kayam. These are all contradictions. You can't put your nose on your back. You can't be both chai and kayam, normally, right? Okay, but these expressions usually come to teach something very profound. So what is the aspect of munach v'eimed in terms of a keser, and why say it at all? Mulchan, yeah? But why say it at all? Why not just say it? It would be enough to say it's mulchan. Obviously, it's a direct function of Yerushahi, right? That's what it means. Okay, good. More to you. Keep them coming. Adirav. Why but Yova? So what we were medayek, the ikar nekuda of the Kisra Shel Torah, the way the Rambam is defining it, is the amazing fact that the Kisra Shel Torah, when a person is zeicher to that Kisra Shel Torah, He's not being zeichet to the Keser Shel Torah. He's being zeichet to himself. The Keser Shel Torah was always his. That's the point, except that he couldn't grab it. He couldn't get to it. He wasn't able to be bought because he had no idea even where it is. There was nothing in him that allowed him to relate to it. So first of all, to know that the hachana, the meaning of the word muhan, the hachana means that this is what it was made for. That's machon l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem. We call it Beis HaMikdash machon. But why do we call it machon? Because it's rishon, right? Because it's there before, it's one of the things that are called before Bereshis. That's the machon. It's set up l'chatchila for that purpose. There is no keser Torah that you create and that suddenly comes into being because of your tremendous madriga, the way you would have to be in order to be zoiche initially to a kisser shel malchus or to be a kisser shel kugna. It's there the whole time. Misheshes mebereshes. It's there the whole time. It was created lechatchila for the purpose of your being able to have it. So first of all, what that says is that it's impossible that I should not be matim to have the kisser shel Torah because it was made to fit you. So obviously it's mati. That's the word mati. That's what mati means. So it's to aim your mind. I mean, isn't it everybody's kisser shel Torah? No. Of course not. That's the point. Every single person can grow into that kisser shel Torah. Kol mi shereitze. That becomes the one that is muhan for him. Which is very much like Kabbalah Satera itself, like Chazal defined Kabbalah Satera. There weren't two people in Klal Yisrael that had the same Kabbalah Satera. Everybody heard what his mind was capable of hearing in the language that he was capable of hearing, according to the relationship that he was capable of hearing. We see this even in the most astonishing way, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Shmuel, he thinks it's Eli. Now, how the heck do you think it's Eli, for heaven's sakes? I mean, how stupid can you be just because Eli's the only person in the house? It must be, did it sound like me? What's with you, kid? But that's not what Eli tells him. Why? Because it did sound like Eli. It sounded exactly like Eli. Because Eli was the call that he had always heard in terms of Torah. So the Dvar Hashem is Eli's voice. Does that mean it's Eli's voice to me? No. Maybe it's my father's voice. Maybe it's my Rebbe's voice. But it's certainly not Eli's voice, because I didn't learn it from Eli. But what that means is that every person's call, that is Yotzei Me'Har Sinai, speaks to him in the tones that he appreciates and connects to. That's the point. There's this beautiful scene in the movie Cosmos, and it's like a very old movie from, what's his name, from Carl Sagan, right? No, it wasn't Cosmos. It was, what was that movie where they...
2001 Space Odyssey?
No.
Contact.
Contact, thank you. Yes, Contact. So what happens over there is that they end up following these instructions, right? And they're able to enter through hyperspace a completely different madriga of a different place in the universe. Anyway, so one of the people in this experiment is this woman, and she meets in this other world, she meets her father, right? And her father's talking to her about this and that. And then she suddenly realized it's not her father. It's this alien intelligence. And she like gets very angry, you know. Like, why are you pretending to be my father? Why are you talking to me in my father's voice? He tries to explain to her. That's the only way to talk to you in a way that you can care about and you can relate to and that you can love and that you can understand the depth of our concern for your growth and for what you are. So, of course, you hear it in the voice of your father. What else are we supposed to speak to you in? There it's a little bit malachuti. But in terms of Torah, it's not my, this is the Metzias, but this is the call that I hear. So that's the pshat of Muchan. And Muchan is the Hachana for you. That means that any relationship is the relationship that you yourself are looking for in terms of being yourself to the maximum. So then this becomes your Keter. It's a completely different concept of Keter. That's the point. That the other Ketarim are in fact unique. There's only one. So that's the whole point of the Muchan.
The Shlosh Atam Nichtu Yisrael. Yeah. So even when it's done, it's also for Israel. There is a Keter and he got it. There is a Keter, he got it. It means that there's three terms that exist.
First of all, I disagree with the deer. Doesn't mean that. It means that once somebody reaches that Madrega, so then he becomes Nichtar with a Keter. But who defined that Keter? Who defined what Keter Kohuna becomes? Who defined what Keter Malchus becomes? The Keter Malchus literally fit the head of Adam, of David HaMelech. Literally. So it was a genetic accomplishment of David HaMelech. Right? That's completely different than being Muchan and Eimed. That's the whole point. It's only there.
Nicht. When Klamiso is that there's three terms, and then there's a question.
Yes, but it does not mean that it was Muchan from before. That's the whole point that the Rambam is making. That there's Nichtru by achievement, and then there's a Nichtru because it's waiting for you, and that they're ultimately different. One is something that belongs to an individual because of the individual. The other is what it is when the individual is ready to be the individual. That's the whole point that he's making.
What is Rabbi, how does Rabbi understand Nichtu Yisrael? Before they did it? Or after they did it, this is how it's done? What I'm hearing from Rabbi saying now was everybody, and then he got it to the exclusion.
My name, darling, it doesn't matter. That isn't the point of the halacha. It doesn't matter whether it's before or after. It's a gift to Yisrael to be able to have these three ksarim. Whether you get it because I give it to you, or whether you get it because you were zeicha to it and made it, it's an amazing gift that we should be zeicha as human beings to be able, and it's exactly what David HaMelech said. I'm shocked. He said, Torah to Adam. It's like unbelievable. Who ever heard of such a thing? Tremendous chiddush, right? Fine. That's true. This is not in order. It's not in some type of historical order. That isn't the point of... I know, but it boils down to the same thing. You're not thinking in a released way. You're thinking in terms of specific meaning of words. It has to be this and that. First, the Rambam is saying, Klal Yisrael is in a tremendous madrega. And in Klal Yisrael madrega, we find the concept of kesef. And there's only three such ksarim that are shayach to Klal Yisrael. And you should know that one of them is created not for Yisrael, but for every Ben Yisrael that wants to pick it up. The others are unique for individuals. They have nothing to do with what you become. When you become that, of course, as I say, it's because you're a Marosh of Kilas Yaakov. You will never, ever, not a Melech, not a Kohen Gadol, and certainly not a Ben Torah, will never be Zeicha in a Keser because you're such an incredible person alone. Avram Avinu wasn't Zeicha in a Keser. Yitzchak wasn't Zeicha in a Keser. Yaakov wasn't Zeicha in a Keser. Kiyiles Yaakov is Zeicha in a Keser. Yisrael is Zeicha in a Keser. So you understand what we're talking about. And nonetheless, the Kisser Shel Torah is Muchan for every individual. What does that say to you? It means that every individual carries within himself the Meirosh of Kilas Yaakov. And that's what I'm trying to tell you the mitzvah, says the Rambam. Your mitzvah is Kilas Yaakov, not you. That's why the mitzvah is to teach your child or to teach yourself, not to learn. It's not about learning. Even when it's you, it's to teach yourself. In exactly the same way that the Seder Shel Pesach is to ask yourself, Because it has to do with something that you are part of. Is it clear that the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which leads us to the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is not because you're another chain in a narrative? It's because it's a different state of that narrative in the universe. But it's a state that is valuable because it is part of a universe of narrative of Cheirus. This is what Barosh HaKivos Yaakov means. That this is what the world is about. It's not about logistics. It's not about giving over information. It's about maintaining Kivos Yaakov at every moment. Fine. And you're direct chelik in that Kivos Yaakov. That's all that Allah is saying. He's not talking about how to get to it. Whether that isn't an important point of it. But the point of the difference between what type of Ketorim are there, that's the main point. And you would think that it's a contradiction. Doesn't a Keter mean that it's unique? Isn't that? That's the way everybody thinks. Oh, here's the king. Oh, here's the Kohen Gadol. And how could there be two? Ain't Shnei Malachim Mishtam Shem Keter Echad. Isn't that the whole point? So if Bi Malachim Mim Lochu, what about Ain't Shnei Malachim Mishtam Shem Keter Echad? How could two people have the same Keter? That's exactly the point that the Rambam is making. The Mulchan means that every individual has a hat'ama misheshes imei bereshes to what the universe was capable of expressing in a member of Kilos Yaakov that has his unique identity. B'tnai, that he grows into that identity. In order to grow into that identity, you have to be mekayim mitzvazo k'ra'ui, and you have to be nisa'o lipcha. And then, if you make this your only concern in life, and it overrides everything else, then you'll grow into that keter that was always yours. But if you tell somebody, which they tell people today, you can be a gadol b'teira. No, I can't. I'm stupid. Whether it's true or not, that's not the meaning of this. You understand? To be a gadol b'teira, you have to make yourself into something. To be zeicha b'kisra shel teira, you do not have to make yourself into anything. You just need to be who you are. There's a tremendous difference. The whole idea of looking at teira, some type of logistic thing, and some type of instruction set, and so on, in which we tell a person, yes, if you really are a vazir, and you learn like really good, you too can become like the Chafetz Chaim. It's totally irrelevant. I don't want to be like the Chafetz Chaim. That's the whole point. Which itself is meramis to the other awful part of the misunderstanding of Kisra Shel Teira. The point of Kisra Shel Teira is that the meaning of having that Kesser is exactly the same for me or for my Shrubbing. Correct? Munach Vahima. And it's Mulchan for me exactly the way it was Mulchan for my Shrubbing. In which case, suppose for a minute, I would believe, and I pointed this out on not on the Ne'ila Sachar. I don't think that anybody caught the importance of the point. And it's truly mind-boggling. The nature that was given to us as the space in which we live in the universe that we need to understand. Was it understood in the 15th century, in the 16th century, in the 17th century, in the 18th century, in the 19th century? Of course it was. But the fact that it was fully understood with whatever it was shayach to understand at that time, if somebody would have made the mistake of saying, and I mentioned this was Kepler's big mistake.
Kepler?
Yeah. I know that the sun cannot possibly be more than 3,000 years old. Because based on its energy output, even if it's made entirely of coal, and you knew the mass of the sun, it's easy to compute because of the power of gravity. So it's easy to compute from the distance of the earth to know the mass of the sun, right? Fine. So I know exactly how many wells of England go into the sun, and I know how long turning the entire mass of the sun into coal can possibly burn at this rate. So, are we going to deny reality? There's no other way. Was he right? 100%, according to his madriga of what the world was that he knew. What was the world that he knew? The world that we all know of electromagnetic energy. He had it beautifully worked out. You light a flame, and the energy that you get is from the reorganization of electrons around nuclei. It never occurred to him that there is a completely different madriga of force that may be millions of times more full of energy than that. Of course it didn't. He didn't even know there were atoms. How could he possibly imagine there was a different source of care? Correct? So what are you going to say? That the person had no connection, Kepler had no connection to Kola Terra Kula? If we call Kola Terra Kula all of the Teva that is given over to you, you're going to say he didn't have connection to Kola Terra Kula? Of course he did. He knew Kola Terra Kula. Elamai, that one mistake, the Kola Terra Kula that we know includes already all of the possibilities, which we also know. Because, after all, kach asu avoteinu, so how would we do differently? So you're telling me that somebody who knew Kol HaTorah Kula could begin to imagine the life that we have today? If he would see 1 minute of the life we had today, he would decide that science was superseded by magic. Obviously, none of these things are possible. I'm not talking about the technology that he could imagine. I'm talking about technology that was unimaginable. Joseph's injunctions are unimaginable. Being able to have thinking machines without Boolean algebra is unimaginable. Laser beams are unimaginable. Nuclear power is unimaginable. It's just unimaginable. It's nothing to discuss. Wow, so I was zochet to see a world in which everyone became a magician. If he holds that, so then he's not really in touch with Kol HaTorah Kula. The same exact thing is true in Torah. Somebody knows Kol HaTorah Kula, and he thinks, therefore, he knows what's possible, what isn't possible. He doesn't have a clue. Mamish, not a clue. And what the world will look like a century later and will be completely consistent in ways that he can't even begin to imagine with the nature of Torah, he cannot imagine. And if he's stupid enough to say that such a thing would be a violation of Torah because it's not in the Torah that I know, so then he's not a Talmud Chacham. That's the whole point. When Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Odeinu Naz Drachecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. So the Rambam says, kol tuvi can only mean everything that exists with the recognition of all of the possible permutations and interrelationships that can only be imagined, but at least he was shown the possibility of those permutations. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been Torah that he had. As simple as that. It would have been some human, constricted sense of what I think I know now. Which is why when he walks into the shir of Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't come as a shock to that I don't know what he's talking about. How would I think I would know what he's talking about? What I don't understand is that this guy, for him to be able to have gotten there, is obviously a hell of a lot more intelligent than I am, must have put in more work than I did. What do you need me for? Not Sigamore's Kasha. Does it come to him as a shock? Because somebody's so much smarter than me and knows so many things that I never imagined? No, of course not. Obviously, that's the way that it's going to be. You can imagine the sickness of somebody who will tell me, that's apikursis, because we didn't say that in the last century. It's frightening to see such things. It's mamish frightening, because it means a complete violation of the concept of Torah, of what Maharosh HaKilos Yaakov means. Don't you see? Isn't that small hashkafa issues? They're mamish direct violations of what the Sinas HaTorah was. It's a pachad. Anyway, these are some of the implications of the simple meanings of Hilchos Talmud Torah.
Is there also the idea of the Keser being the Keser for Kol Yisrael Kulo? In other words, that your Keser of Torah is the same way that a king's Keser
is. Of course, it is. It's the Keser of Yisrael in terms of Maharosh Shaki, Lat Yaakov. Except that these are all malachim. Be malachim. Sorry?
Why tell me Gogol Mishneh? Why bother telling me that?
Because why bother telling me? That's the only point of the halacha.
No, those words must be having something. Maybe you say those are greater. No, look at this pasuk, and then I have to say again. So you see, the keser Torah is better than something stressed.
And what didn't we stress here that you didn't hear? What didn't we stress? And he said, what did we not address about that deal? What was Shema Tamar? What did it mean, Shema Tamar? According to what we just explained, what was Shema Tamar?
That whoever has those talim, it's greater than.
No, what is the word Shema Tamar? Oysam Aksarim Godol. What does that mean?
Lest you say that.
That's not how I explain it. How did I explain it? Shema Tamar, I said, why would I say that? What's the basis of saying that? That means it's a sheila hanishelet ayidei atzma. Shema tomar. Why? Because generally the meaning of the word keter is that it makes you the difference between the generic and the unique. And it can only be had by one individual because that's what it means. So you might think that this keter means that too. And therefore, if it's available to more than one person, it can't be chashiv, because it's a violation of the whole meaning of the chashivas of the keter.
It should be a violation of what the keter is, not in comparison to those two. It should be that I don't even understand what a keter is, not that I would think that it's a
I would think that it's a metaphor, and that in the same way that the keter, the metal that is put on the king's head, is a metaphor for the true keter of Malchus. Obviously, it doesn't mean the keter, any more than a Kohen has a keter, a Kohen doesn't have a keter. It's a metaphor for an emanation of chashivas and godless and so on. So because of that, we say, listen, you know, there's a godless here too. So you might think that I'm using keter in a way that means that there's chashivas. But obviously, it can't be a keter in the way that this is a keter, because this is unique. How did I explain that a minute ago? Therefore, we need to know that it's mut'am for you, and that indeed there are no shnei malachim mishtamshim b'keter echad. This keter is a state of being for which Bereishis exists. That's exactly what we were talking about here. That's mamish the point of the halacha. I don't know why it's like, but why? What there is to fight about it? It's so beautiful. It's so clear. That's what the words mean, he's saying. Shema Tomar. Yeah, because you have your prejudice about what a keter is. Otherwise, why would I talk? Think about that. Maybe Shema Tomar, Elu Bekesev, Elu Bezov. I mean, I said, well, what do you mean Shema Tomar? Shema Tomar is because that's the way I know everybody thinks about it. For the right reason. Because usually it does mean that, right?
Could we go back to associated with the, like, what did,
with uniqueness.
Unique person. Right? Yeah, keter is not for everybody. Usually.
It means that, you would think. Because that's the only way that I relate to its chashivas. Because the keter always means something that is beyond the person. Right? So whatever emerges from him, it's not about him. It's about his being a melech. It's about his being a kohen. It's not about him. So then how could this possibly be true about you? But that's the point of Muchan. It's about you. That's the amazing thing. How could you have a keser that's about you? It's mind-boggling. It's a completely new understanding of the whole idea of what the chashivas is in the world. We understand that keter is about a state which is achieved in the universe, right? But then it isn't about you. And here it's saying, no, it is about you. Even though it comes through Kilas Yaakov. Every Arusha comes through. I didn't make the money. You're right. You didn't make the money. But that doesn't mean that you didn't inherit those billions. So you're telling me that the guy that inherits that billions, you're right. He doesn't have any chashivas. Because all he is a spoiled heiress. She is. But by you, it's the opposite. In order to have this keser, it's about you being you. And then you become the ball of the keser. It's like an amazing antithesis to the way that people generally look at the concept of Yerusha, Bichlal, right? And by the way, it's perfectly consistent to the answer to Avram Avinu's Babayadaki Rashana. If Yerusha means what it usually means, so then Avram Avinu is asking a question that cannot be answered. Because when you're giving me the Yerusha to Eretz Yisrael, you want to give it to me as a gift. And you're telling me that it's shayach to give that darg of the gift as a Yerusha. Because that's a contradiction in terms. How am I supposed to understand that? What possible element of my children would enable them to actually be like me, which is necessary in order to have that relationship with Eretz Yisrael, Bechlal? The fact that the answer to that is in terms of Cheres, and it's in terms of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzisich of Eretz Yisrael, which becomes the Yadoa Teda, means that it's going to be talking about the getter of Yerusha. This is a new type of Yerusha. It's not to be Mamayit, it's genetic or epigenetic elements, which are undoubtedly real as well, in terms of physicality. You see that clearly from the way the Torah learns the DNA aspect of it. It's Zera Avram in terms of Terach Avi Avram, in terms of the way it's introduced in Divrei Hayomim, exactly the same way. It's a genetic development. Otherwise, we don't need Asaradaris, and then going back and incorporating the genes of the family through Yitzchak goes back, and Yaakov goes back, and so on. All that doesn't make any sense unless it's genetic. However, by the way, I think this is only something that is known now. It wasn't known 5 years ago. People always thought that identical twins are genetically identical. Anybody who learned in school anytime until the past couple of school, they're still teaching that. Obviously, if they're identical twins, they have to be identical. They come from the same egg. They're nothing but the same genetic component split into two. And therefore, what should be the difference between them? No, in environment maybe. When they grow up in the same environment, different, smallish, whatever, you know all the talk about twins, the research on twins, and so on and so on. So two tremendous developments took place over the past 5 years that changed that completely. One development was the fact that they recognized for the first time that every single cellular doubling in a fetus is involved with at least 300 mutations. You can't avoid, because you're talking about billions and billions of different integrations, right, of little molecules. Obviously, there's going to be mistakes. Average of 300 mutations with every doubling. That means that by the time these kids have grown up, per chromosome. So then that means by the time these kids have grown up, they're different in so many ways that it's mind-boggling. Doesn't matter that they started off exactly the same. That's like believing that whatever you started off with, that's all that there is, with a perfect record of doubling. DNA is very imperfect, which is the only reason that it gets evolution going. If it would be perfect, we'd never get anywhere, right? But then there was something that's much more chomor that came to be understood. And that is that genes are a very small part of the story of genetic attributes. And the most important aspects are epigenetic, not genetic. And therefore methylates and other aspects that attach themselves to DNA and are carried along with reproduction, which are totally different in twins, is far more important in many things than the actual genes are. Those are things that actually develop and change and are passed on in a Lamarckian fashion. So the changes that take place in a lifetime become integrated with the actual genetic inheritance of the person. Up until now, everybody could say, what's your child to say? What's Avram Avinu? Is Avram Avinu? What's he going to give over to his children, genetic, and so on? These are all unbelievable chidushim that shed light for the first time on what it means to be able to have a Yerusha. That's literally Torashti. I'm just bringing it up just to, so it's not a metaphor, but that it's real. So that the idea of year of this Yerusha, that it's Morasha Kilas Yaakov, is an unbelievable thing. It means that it really and truly is mut'am to you. You understand that the amazing difference between hearing that when you're growing up, which is why it's the first thing that a child has to lay buried deep in his subconscious. Morasha Kilat Yaakov. So this is what you hear in your sleep. Morasha Kilat Yaakov. As opposed to, you too can be the Chofetz Chaim. It's an unbelievable difference.
There's a tremendous amount of uniqueness despite that in terms of the Keter, right? In other words,
that's the point.
That the Keter itself, even though it's Muhan for you from before, it's still your involvement in it defines to what extent it exists and defines even its unique attributes to
no, because the truth is, on the Darga of Keter and on the Darga of Reishis, the you who is you is there the whole time from the beginning. The raya to that is very clearly from the story of Reb Elazar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, should I start the universe over again and maybe next time you'll be born in a nice economy? What kind of stupid question is that? If you start the universe over again, maybe I will never be here. And if I will be here, it won't be me.
What it is that you are still changes. Is that not true? That's why you say sorry.
That part doesn't matter. That's those are small issues. But you are you. That's what you see from that Gemara. Gemara's not making. It means that these elements of potential and what an Adam can be is part of Reishis. It's certainly in Yerusha of, and this is the holy need of the idea in Kabbalah of Gilgal and Soda Yibur and so on. These are not small issues. These are important issues. That there is a nature of Nafshas Yisrael, actually you call Nafshas Neshame Shebeguf and so on. These are all inyanim that are very powerful and real inyanim. Somebody who has any brains to be able to be aimed on the darga of seeing into the person's information immediately sees within the person what elements are their shayach there in terms of Yisrael's development. It's not esoteric.
Maybe that would be part of the difference between this good Bezratah versus the Yisrael.
Could be. I think we have to break from Arab now. But Bezrat Hashem, we can find a way to translate this chabura into a chabura. Nur Reb Avrom. Reb Barnea hitzil et ha-matzav.
Mitchabed alayim, shaul, lizkot ba-keter.
בוודאי, מה זאת אומרת האפשרות? אין מה להתלבט. מילא, אם להיות כמו החופץ חיים או רב כבגע, זה אני לא יודע. אבל לזכות אותו הקטע של מישהו, הבן הזה אני כן יודע. Good to everyone.
Before you go,
yeah.
What's the starting difference to the way Rebbe described how a woman has a relationship to Torah, to the Keter of Torah? It says Mukham Lekol, and the Shira said she wants it. You can't give it to her. So she's not charged to the first parent in terms of the Mitzvah of Tispater. But if she wants it, just like a person wants a keter of Torah, she has shaychus to that. The whole inclusion of
she has total shaychus to Torah.
The keter
only it's the schar of Torah includes that keter. Lizkei the kisser shel Torah is part of the schar. Doesn't mean stop schar bi'alma. Otherwise, what's the point of saying yela pachot? The saying yesh la sachar, that it's pachot mi sachar ish, means that whatever the Torah can give an ish, it can give an ish. What, you hold that Dvorah did not have the Kitra shel Torah? Because she taught Kalal Yisrael? And that all of these women throughout the Derech that had all of these Talmidim and so on, they didn't have Kitra shel Torah? Where does it say that Kisra Shel Torah has to be male? I never heard of such a thing. No, I'm saying, what's the Havana in Bichla? It's just some prejudice. I don't know of any Mokar at all that would suggest that the Kisra Shel Torah is reserved for males. I never heard of such a thing.
What I'm pointing out...
Nisha Rotzala Kayyem Mitzvah
Zokera Ui.
It's for Nisha also who wants to be Rotzala Kayyem.
Yeah, but that is her connection.
She's not
a mitzvah. She is shy to the keter. She's pater from the constraints of Talmud Torah as expressed in Perek Rishon. Her shaykh, her connection to Torah is only through the keter of Torah.
No, I don't agree.
She was.
No. Because the Rambam says, Mi shirotze v'kayim mitzvah zuka roi ve'lihiyot muhtar b'keter Torah. Which means that the Veliyot Muhtar B'Keter Torah can only come through Mishrotze L'Kayem Mitzvah Zokar Ravui. You can't have it separate. It's not two separate things. It's the Derech to the Kitra Shel Torah, L'Kayem Mitzvah Zokar Ravui.
But a male gets there through the Chiyur of the Giyas Bo Yom V'Laila, not so for a woman.
No, it's not. Giyas Bo Yom V'Laila is a small Gilui of the nature of what the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is. So it's a small part of it. Gemara is a part of it. Yisba Yom V'Lail is a part of it. Yedias Kalat Torah Bal Peh. Yedias all of Yechof Dalitz Forum. It's all chelek of the development of what this mitzvah is. And then obviously the mitzvah develops. Now how could there be a mitzvah to know Yechof Dalitz Forum if the Yechof Dalitz Forum weren't even written yet at the time that the mitzvah was given? I was supposed to know Megillas Esther, and there was no Megillas Esther. So it must be it's not included. Yoshua hadn't been written yet, so it must be it's not included. That kind of silly argument, that would be like saying the Mishnah is not included because Rebbe wasn't born yet. Fine. Now, obviously, we're talking about an expanding universe. An amazing expanding universe in unimaginable ways. And the only way to cheres is to become part of that expansion, like the Ramban says. You don't believe in expansion, you have no sheiches to Olam Haba, you have no sheiches to Bais HaBereishis, you don't even believe in it. That's what he says. If you don't believe in the concept of Shemitah V'Yevel and the ongoing development of the world, basically you're kafir in Bais HaBereishis, you have no sheiches to Olam Haba, and that's the reason that the entire bris with Kol Yisrael was made on that basis. Which is Shavuos. Sixes and sevens and eights. Exactly that. And that's that Brit that begins Shavuos. It's not a coincidence that Bahar and Shavuos and the Sheva Shabbatot Tumimot, which is the Sheva Pamim Keri, the Sheva Pamim of the Harei lecha sheva chataot, but as Rashi said, sheva pabim, that's not a coincidence. That's the heft of the bris, is that idea of continued expansion, and the way that you enter into the field is the way that it keeps developing. All right, time to develop. We have to go. Okay, Laila Tov, everyone.